Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God, and to that we always say, thanks be to God. Now, if you follow TV or the movies very much, every spring you might tune in to the Academy Awards. It's Hollywood's biggest season. I have come to note one thing. Very few of the stars slip in to the back door, right? They come out front and walk the red carpet and enjoy all the pomp and circumstance. And they do that wave that they do. Not like this, but kind of like this. Can you do that with me today? It's the little stars wave, or the prince or princess wave. More wrist action than anything. And of course, they like to show off their attire, or sometimes their lack thereof. Right? Now, contrast that for a second with Jesus Christ, who shied away from the big crowds, who avoided as much as possible the big cities. He did most of his work in the villages. And when he healed the leper of his leprosy, he said to him, "Don't tell anybody." And when he cured the two blind men and gave them back their sight, he said, "Don't spread the word." Yes, even when he dealt with the demoniac who talked to him and said, "I know who you are. You are the Son of God, the Christ." Jesus said, "Be quiet." Jesus did not look for the limelight. He did not care about it until today, this day of Palm Sunday. The event that we celebrate is his triumphal entry in the town. This day, everything changes. Now we see Jesus being ushered in by the great crowds, entering the city, and being proclaimed as Messiah. Remember what Messiah means? It also means Christ. Christ means the Anointed One. The one picked by God to save the world. The entire city was already stirred up because it was the week of Passover. Passover would begin Wednesday evening. After the first 24 hours, they would have the Passover dinner, or Maundy Thursday. Preparations were being made. It was the grandest of feasts. The city was already hard at work, and many in the crowd had this inkling that this would be a different Passover, a better Passover, because they had pinned their hopes on a person named Jesus. who just might fit the bill for Messiah. After all, look what he did. He healed the lame. He restored sight to the blind. He raised the dead. He confounded his enemies. This must be him. Even the prophets say, Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Hey, only kings come to town riding on a donkey. Only kings have their way paved with a person's clothes and branches of trees. Only kings hear the words, Hosanna. Hosanna simply means save now. Not tomorrow, not next week. Now, save me. Save me, O King. Long live the King. But there was already a king. King Herod Antipas sat on the throne. Governor Pilate was in charge of the region. And Caesar was the emperor. Do you know what that means? That means there was going to be conflict. Trouble was coming. But not today. Not this grand and celebrative day. For the first time in his public ministry, Jesus was getting all the attention. So much so that those who had not heard of him began to ask, who is this fellow? Who is it that comes in like this? And what has he done? And are we in the presence of greatness? We have not heard of him. And maybe it was his disciples from Galilee who said, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. In Galilee. Hey, no mention of a king. No words about rabbi. Not even the Messiah, but a prophet. Actually, the prophet. Now, prophets are more important than kings. Prophets speak God's word through teaching or preaching. Prophets sometimes predict the future because they walk so close to God. They were the role models for the entire community. They were the next thing right up against holiness. And people looked up to them. Matter of fact, Deuteronomy 18:18 says this, and perhaps Jesus' disciples were thinking this, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. But what distinguished Jesus from all the other prophets is that many thought he was the one foretold, the coming Messiah, the Savior. It was right for them to say, Hosanna! Save now! Save us from our enemies! Save us from the rules of the Romans! Save us from those Pharisees and Sadducees who give us rule after rule, A, B, C, D, E. If you do these things, you'll be good. And if that's not enough, here's F, G, H, I, J, K. Save us now, Jesus. Please. Please. The city was all astir because they were expecting that maybe Jesus would come in and say, I'm here. I'm the Messiah. Let's get it on. Let's start the world rule. I'm in charge. But they completely and utterly missed it. And they should have known better. Because he came not riding on a horse, which is what a warrior king would have done, someone who was willing to take over and to take on any newcomers. He came riding on a donkey, which is a symbol of peace. You see, this Messiah would be the Prince of Peace, the sacrificial lamb unto death. Hebrews says there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. But not today. But in 5 days, all of those shouts of Hosanna would turn to crucify him. Crucify him! People can be very fickle, can they not? Expectations thwarted, hopes lost, dreams dashed, all because they did not understand how God works. Do we? Things are not always as they would seem. We only get about this much information, this much of the piece of the puzzle, and yet God sees the entire picture before him at all time and in all places. And God has a way that he wants to stir up a city, to stir up a church. And if you want to do it God's way, here's how you do it. Number one. Live in such a way that when you are asked by somebody for something, they are honored to do it. In other words, when you are out and about and need something to take place, and you go to someone and say, would you do this? Live your life in such a way that they can't wait to help, that they can't wait to be part of the team, because your words and your actions match. Because your character is evident to all. Make sure that you live your life in such a way that when somebody is needed to help, they can't wait to pitch in, to give a hand, to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. I think about the owner of that donkey. How in the world did he know to just give that donkey to any stranger? Think about this. If somebody came up to you and said, hey, the master needs your car, are you going to take your keys out of your pocket and hand it to somebody? Probably not, right? Probably not. But in essence, the owner of that donkey turned over the reins and he said, here, have at it. How did he know? Of course, Jesus could foresee it, but here's what I think. I think that owner knew about Jesus' reputation. He might have stood off from afar. He could have been a disciple, we don't know. But he noticed Jesus and he saw that he was a man of character, a man of compassion, a man of action, someone who listened well, who led by example, and who loved. And he was eager, more than happy to give them the donkey. The Bible says a couple of donkeys. And maybe he even made Jesus lunch, I don't know. But he was so impressed by his lifestyle, his personhood, he was more than happy to help out. He was honored to do it. Live your life in such a way that when somebody approaches you and you have a need and you ask, they are honored to step in and help out. Number two, we must never think that the coats on our backs are too dear to part with for the service of Christ. Think of it this way. Jesus is coming into town, and if you couldn't get a palm branch, the first thing they did was they took off their coats and just threw it on the ground, hoping and asking and praying that Jesus' donkey would actually step on it. I hope it wasn't a rainy day. But they didn't care. They were honored that Jesus would ride by. And they might have had nothing else but the shirt on their back, but they were willing to give it. What about us? It might not be our coat, our blazer, our shirt. Could be something else. Could be a car. Could be our time. Could be our money. Could be a good listening ear. Nothing is beyond the need of God. Nothing is too great for us to say, no, it's too precious. Never think that our coats on our backs or whatever is too dear to part with if it means serving Christ. Last, don't ever seek fame or recognition or prestige or your way. Don't do it. And if somehow fame and recognition or prestige or your way finds you, don't make it about you, make it about him. This is such an instructive, wonderful moment. Jesus comes to town and he's riding on this donkey. The last person to do so was probably King Solomon, who inherited his father's throne, who was known as the King of Peace. And here comes Jesus after the same vein. Even those around him said, "Oh, Son of David." Son of David is a king. Jesus was related to David's family by earthly connections. We know that there were also divine connections. Think of it this way. What if the next day the donkey woke up and said, "Wow, what a day I had yesterday. I'm going to go out to the well today and I'm just going to show myself, and certainly they'll throw their coats on the ground." And he goes out to the well and everybody's doing their thing and they don't notice him. And he says, "Hey, I'm here. Where's your coats?" And somebody slaps him on the behind and tells him to get out of here. And he mutters under his breath, "Miserable heathens. I know what I'll do. I'll go out to the marketplace where all the good people are. Surely they'll cut down the palm branches and throw them down again." And he goes out and he shows up and he says, "Hey, here I am. What about the palm branches? It's me. Remember me yesterday?" Nobody threw a single branch. Nobody paid any attention. So hurt and confused, the donkey returns home to his mother. "Foolish child," she said gently, "don't you realize that without him you are just an ordinary donkey? But with him, you are something extraordinary." That's the message today to all of us. All of our attempts without Christ amount to nothing. Nothing. But if our first and most important goal is to serve Jesus Christ, to make him first in our lives, so that it impacts what we do at work and at home and at school, if we make Jesus our number one priority, when we lift up Christ, we aren't ordinary people any longer. As a matter of fact, I think we become key players in God's plan to redeem the entire world. Don't you know that with Christ in your heart, you are little Christs? And that you take him everywhere you go. He hears every word you say. Are we honoring him? Jesus, our great example, who came into town as humble as can be. James says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We see it in the King of Kings and in the Lord of Lords, who, if anybody deserved it, it was him. But he was willing to deflect it to him. Let us pray. Lord, we haven't always thought about how our words impact others, how our actions impact others. And we haven't always been willing to part with our coats or our shirts or our cars or our money or our time to serve you. But today, it's different. Today we get the sense that you are calling us to greater and better things, and that you wish us to take a more humble approach, to not be so worried about our way, but to be more concerned with your way. So, Lord, come upon us in such a way that we commit to you our hearts, perhaps for the first time or yet again, and to allow you to have your way, even if it means a humble way. Increase our faith. Help us to be sure and certain about our eternal future. Remind us, as you remind us every Sunday, that there is only one way to God the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ, His Son. Help us to live that and breathe that and teach that to our kids, our grandkids, our neighbors, our community, our co-workers. If only by our actions, and only when necessary, to use words. May those words and those actions bring you all the glory. For I pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.